You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
In our text of Luke 4, verses 2 through 4, we see that it is a conversation between two people. And the two people that are having a conversation are two people that young men and young women need to know and be familiar with. Two people in the text. The first person in the text is the devil. Young people need to know who the devil is according to the scripture. Because in this life, you are going to have to deal with the devil or demons while you're here on earth. The devil is the primary opponent of God and the saints of God. Besides yourself, you have at least one person that hates you. His name is the devil. He is the primary opponent of the saints of God. And it does not matter if you are a teenager, preteen, in your 20s, or an adult. If you are a child of God, the devil is your primary opponent. Now, notice, young people, in scripture, when it comes to the devil, you had people that did the devil's pleasure. Whatever the devil told them to do, they did it. They served Satan. We learn this with the Apostle Paul. Satan sent a messenger to him, a servant, to do certain things to Paul. And you have people that definitely serve the devil. And get this, when you notice my notes, you have people that do the devil's pleasure and they get paid for it. They prosper. I can say that because David said when he almost fainted when he beheld the prosperity of the wicked. Just because a person is on the devil's side, that don't mean that they don't have things while they're here on this earth. Actually, the devil has the authority to give things to people. But the Bible says, young people, it will be in exchange for their soul. Jesus asked the question, what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? See, you can gain the whole world, have the things of the world, but still die and go to hell. Secondly, when it came to the devil, you had people that were possessed by the devil. They were possessed. And amazingly, the Bible speaks numerous times about children being possessed, controlled by the devil. In one particular instance, there was a young girl who was possessed by the devil, and he was using her skills or different God-given abilities. She had been given the gift to be able to prophesy. But she was possessed by a spirit, and she had some men that were using her to use that gift for their gain. Understand something, young people. God can give you certain gifts and abilities, but if you don't allow God to use them, the devil can use them for his gain or for his profit. And the young girl was possessed. But then what I like about it is that you have some people that prevailed against the devil. The devil came to steal, kill, destroy. But you have young people and adults in the scripture that fought the devil and they prevailed. And see, that's what we want for young people. That's what we want for you. We understand the enemy gonna come. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the good news is you can prevail over him. The greater one on the inside of you is greater than he that's in the world. Tell somebody you can prevail over the devil. Yeah, you don't have to stay oppressed. You don't have to stay depressed. You don't have to be hooked on something. No, you can prevail over demon spirits. You don't have to be scared to go to sleep. You don't have to be scared to walk through darkness. No, you can prevail over the devil. Somebody shout, I can prevail over the devil because of Christ. This adversary, the devil, is an ancient adversary. Been around young people for centuries. And I have concluded, based upon my opinion, that the devil is quite impressive. Very intelligent. And very influential. When you think of the devil, yes, he's evil. Yes, he's wicked. But he's very impressive, influential, and intelligent. Y'all still with me? Let's prove my point. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Yeah. Revelation 12. And notice verse number 9. Notice how impressive, intelligent, and influential the devil is. Revelations 12 and 9. So the great dragon was cast out. Who's the great dragon? The serpent of old, called who? The devil. And Satan. Notice the next part of the verse. Who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Look how impressive, intelligent, and influential the devil is. He deceives not one person, not 100 people, not 1 million people, but he deceives, according to this verse, the whole world. Man, that's impressive. Where you can trick the whole world, that takes intelligence. That takes wisdom, calculation, influence, power. Tell somebody the devil and demons are nothing to play with. There are certain things, young people, you need to understand that you don't need to mess around with. If something or somebody is not attached to God, you need to be careful. Because if not, you can be deceived. Just like the whole world. Jesus even taught that in the last day before he come, even the very elect, mature folk would be deceived by the devil. That's why it's important to make sure we are spirit-led saints, because I don't want to be deceived. Are y'all still with me? I don't want my marriage to be deceived. I don't want my family, nor do I want to see God's church deceived by the devil. So let's look a little closer at our text in Luke 4 and see what the Lord is speaking to us concerning the devil. Here in our text in Luke 4, the devil is described as the tempter. The devil is described as who? The tempter. This same story in the book of Matthew, Matthew calls him straight up the tempter. But we see him doing the same thing in this verse. The tempter has a number of different meanings, but for the sake of the lesson and the message, let's keep it real basic. The one who entices a person to do certain things. And of course, he entices young people that are in God to do things they have no business doing. But taking it further to tempt, or when the devil tempts young people, notice he tries out a person. He wants to feel you out, try you out, examine you, test you. Some of you in your local schools, excuse me, you try out for the basketball team. You try out for the cheerleading team. You try out for the band and other different things. You go through a series of different tests to see if you've got what it takes to be on the team. The same principle with the devil. He's going to try you out to see if you really a child of God. Let me just feel her out. Let me just check him out and try him out. Let me see if he going to stand on what he being taught. Let me see if he going to at least do what the pastor and his parents are teaching him. Let me just try him out. Let me see if he really want to go to heaven or he just talking and he want to go to hell. Let me just feel her out. And he does that. But secondly, what I want you to remember to tempt when you talk about the devil means to break your discipline. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to break what God has disciplined you to do. I want to break that. Yeah, I got to stop her from praying. Let me see if I can break that. I got to stop her from being holy. Let me see if I can tempt her and break that. I want her to go from holy to hoey. I got to break that. Let me see if I can get him to start lying. He known for being honest. Let me see if I can just break that. Oh, man, she love her husband. She take care of her husband. Let me see if I can break that. Let me see if I can just kill that and stop the love from taking place. That's the tempter. Want to break our discipline. Oh, he hooked up with his pastor. She hooked up with a pastor. Let me see if I can break that relationship. Let me see if I can cause something to happen, to cause some division or discord amongst the brethren. He'll try to break your discipline, break your commitment, and he works to prove you and God wrong. That's what the tempter does. I got to prove God, and I got to prove that young person wrong. Yeah, they say they love God, but I can prove that to be wrong. I can do something to make them not even want to praise God. Let me see if I can just prove him or her wrong. They say they love God, but I can prove them wrong. They love their friends more than they love God. Let me prove them wrong. I know they talk about that Jesus, but they love iPhone more than Jesus. Let me prove them wrong. That's what the tempter wants to do. Tell somebody he wants to prove you wrong. He wants to break your discipline, and he's going to feel you out. Going to try you, examine you, or test you. The tempter, the devil, is not playing around. He don't care who your parents are. He don't care who you are. He don't care what you got. He's the tempter. And when it comes to the devil, in our text, it reveals some enlightening truths about him. Number one, he's persistent. Now, put yourself in the text and just think about it. The devil is persistent. He tempted Jesus for 40 days, 40 nights. Over a month, that just kept coming back to back to back. 40 days. Every day, something different. And that's how the enemy does sometimes, young folk. Job said it like this. He said, the Lord has not allowed me to catch my breath. When Satan was coming at Job, it was just back to back to back. He don't stop. You can cry. Guess what? He don't stop. You can go in there and have a good hot prayer. Guess what? He don't stop. You can put a nice offering on the altar. Guess what? He don't stop. He is persistent. Number two, when we look in the text, he's perceptive. He knows some things about you and me. The Bible says that he knew Jesus was hungry. How did he know he was hungry? He was watching him. He know who you like and what you like. And so he'll try to use that to bring you down. Mm. Oh, okay. So he like them yellow, curly hair, nice lips, and a little bit of hips. Okay, that's what he like. I can work with that. Oh, he liked the white girls. Oh, okay. I can work with that. He's very perceptive. Oh, yeah. He don't pray. He don't pray till he get to church. I can do something with that. Matter of fact, he ain't got no Bible. I can do something with that. Tell somebody, he watching you. Remember we read in Revelation, the devil was cast to earth. He ain't down here on vacation. He ain't chilling. He's seeking whom he can devour. He working. And so he looking. Oh, I see they little marriage is going through a little something, something. Maybe I can get her to go sleep in one room and him to sleep in another room. You know, the Bible say when the husband and wife don't come together, young folk, that gives place. It say for Satan. He watching. My question this morning is, what is he seeing when he look in your life? When demons or the devil come by Trojan way, what is he seeing the trendsetters doing? When he stopped by the home of the Villarica Wildcats, what is he seeing going zone? He's very perceptive. The same way God His eyes go to and fro on the earth, seeking whom he can show himself strong toward. The devil walks around seeking whom he can devour. He's looking. And see, this is what I learned. Your pastor don't see you all the time. Your parents don't see you all the time. But it's somebody else who got their eye on you. And according to the verse, it's the tempter. And we're in a season to where he's coming. And don't you think because you are young, you are omitted from the devil trying you. And finally, this is how he got me back in the day, because of his persuasion. Very, very persuasive. The devil got some good game. I said the devil got some good game. He has a way with words. He's persuasive. Notice how he talked to Jesus, young people, if you be the Son of Man. He knew he was the Son of Man. But look how persuasive. You know what? If you really are who you say you are, you'll do this right here. He's been doing that one for a long time. You know, if you really love me, you'll do this right here. You know, if you really about that, you'll go ahead and do this right here. Very persuasive. That's why, young folk, when it comes to your friends, you choose them carefully. Because some people that want to be called your friend, they just going to persuade you to do that which is demonic. They'll lead you astray. But he's very persuasive. Very persuasive. You know, if your parents really loved you, they let you do such and such. And he convinces young folk, they don't love me. And then they go off and do some dumb stuff. He's persistent, persuasive, and perceptive. Which leads us to the second person. Even though Satan's tactics have worked for centuries, young folk, Jesus prevailed over the devil. That's the second person in the text. First, it was the devil. Then it was Jesus. And notice, Jesus prevailed over the devil with one weapon, his mouth. He used his mouth the right way. Likewise, when it comes to the devil, young people, we need to use our mouth the right way. You know, when I was coming up, my parents, especially my mother, taught me it's a way to talk to grown folk. She would tell me, look, Jerome, you don't call no grown person by their first name. You say Mr. or Mrs. You say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. It's a certain way that you talk to your parents. You don't call your parents bruh. You talk to your parents a certain way. Then when I got married, I get mad at my wife, First Lady Baker, and I say certain things to her, and she would say, look, why you keep talking to me like a child? And then I would say, well, look, why are you talking to me like you trying to run something? And so I learned it's a certain way you need to talk to your spouse. If you married, you need to talk to your wife a certain way, and your wife need to talk to you a certain way. Bottom line, young folk, you got to know how to talk to certain folk. Even when it comes to the devil, you got to know how to talk to the devil. You can't be dealing with the devil and talking to him in an ineffective manner. You got to know how to talk to your parents, how to talk to your spouse, how to talk to your boss, how to talk to your teacher, and you sure enough need to know how to talk to the devil. Tell somebody you got to know how to talk to the devil. You can't come playing around. You got to know how to talk to him and get some results. And that's what we need to learn. How to talk to the devil. Because let me tell you one thing about the devil. He do talk. And you better learn how to have a conversation with him and how to talk back to him and put him in his place. I'm going to say it again. Look at somebody say, you better know how to talk to the devil. You got to know how to talk to him and get some results. You got to know how to talk to him with your mouth. Paul said it like this, if you take your notes, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Notice this, for pulling down strongholds. One weapon God has given us is the words we use. Well, how do we use words with this weapon, this instrument, this mouth? You have to start training yourself now to use your mouth the right way when you are combating attacks from the devil. Sometimes when you go through sickness, it can be something just naturally with your body. But then sometimes it could actually be an attack from the devil. You can go through things financially, young folk, and some of the problems you have can be self-inflicted because you made bad choices. But you can also be attacked financially. When you look at Job, he was attacked with his money, in his marriage, with his family, every aspect. And the text tells us all of this came from the hand of the enemy. But then the Bible says about Job, he did not sin with his lips. He knew how to talk in the midst of what he was going through. When we look at our text, are y'all still with me? Jesus talked to the devil based upon the word. That's the key. When young people are dealing with demons, you better have some ammunition that comes from God's word. You got to know what God has said in his word, because that's how you're and I are going to deal with the devil effectively. And I'm going to say this, and you can get mad all you want, but when you are using your mouth to fight against the devil, you need to know the word, and it need to be more than pastor say it. You're not going to win that fight talking about some pastor say it. You better be knowing what the Bible said. We're supposed to believe what the pastor say, what his prophets say. But you got to know the word for yourself. Why do I need to know the word as a young person? It's just certain things you need to know what the Bible say. We need to think word, talk word, and do word. Tell somebody we need to think word, talk word, and what? And do word. Why do I need to speak the word on my situation? Because the word is God. John 1 and 1, you ought to know it. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And here it is. And the word was God. Can the devil beat God? Who is God in this verse? God is the word. So if I don't want the enemy to defeat me, what do I need to speak? I need to be speaking the word or God. That's what I put on them. You start learning, man. I'm going through some things, but I'm so glad I know Romans 8:28. It's going to work all together for my good. I don't understand it all. I don't see my way, but all I know is going to work out together for my good. Is that Bible? Yes. That's it. But then we need to know the word, young folk, because the word is truth. John 17:17 in part says, your word is truth. Truth makes a person free. We can be dealing with the devil, but still be free. Fighting the enemy, but still be happy. Going through in your body, but still be free. That's what I'm going to talk. I'm talking the truth. Not what the doctors say, not what the report says, not what the news or peers are saying. We're going to talk truth. Because when we look at our text, when Jesus put the word and the truth on the devil, he left him. He left him for a while. I said the devil left him. But then he came back at another time. Why? He's persistent. And as long as we're here on earth, we're going to have to deal with the flesh. And we're going to have to deal with the devil. Now, how many remember just a few minutes ago I said, when you speak in the word, it need to be more than what pastor said. How many would agree with that? Yeah. Do we need to live by the written and revealed word? Yeah. But we need to know how to speak the word too. Should we believe the written and the revealed word? Yes. But I need to speak the word too. Right? I want to close it by showing y'all this text. I need everybody to go to the book of Acts. You got to have a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with God or his word to the point that when you are dealing with life, you know that your words are impactful. Amen. Let's close it and look at this amazing story here in Acts 19. We're going to start at verse 11 and conclude at verse 16, and then I'm going to be done. And keep in mind the theme of the message, the topic, talking to the devil. Let's start in Acts 19 and 11. Everybody pay attention, read along. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of who? All right, so Paul is the preacher. And because of the anointing on his life, what did God work unusually in his life? Miracles. Well, let's see if the Bible defines what happened. Verse 12. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Is that unusual? So what was going on is when Paul was preaching, he would have on an apron, or he would have a handkerchief. And the anointing was so on him, he could actually take the handkerchief to a sick person. Or they would take it to a sick person. And just from them having that handkerchief or apron, evil spirits left them. Is that not a miracle? Verse 13. Then some of the inherited Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves to call on the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. So now you've seen some Jewish exorcists or priests. They ready to do the same thing. They want to do the same thing they see Paul did to them evil spirits under the anointing. And notice what happened. They said in verse 13, we exorcise you by the name Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now listen, look, they telling these evil spirits, come out in the name of Jesus based upon who Paul was talking about. Do that sound like they got some authority? Come out, because that's what Paul been preaching. Come on out. They didn't have no power. Notice what happened, verse 14. Also, these were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. 15, and the evil spirit answered or talked and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Look at that demon rose up in that person and said, look, I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who in the world are you? In other words, that evil spirit was like, I ain't going nowhere. I don't know you. This is it. Verse 16. Then the man whom the evil spirit was, what did the evil spirit do? Leaped on them. You know how we say evil spirits transfer? There it is. It jumped off one man and jumped on another one. And notice what the evil spirit did. Overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. The evil spirit jumped on that man, possessed him or overpowered him, took control, and this is what got me, took his clothes off, and then made him hurt himself, or he wounded him. All because them preachers in the text, they ain't know how to talk to the devil. Didn't have no anointing, no power on the inside. And them evil spirits got a hold to them. And we know the devil comes not but for to steal, kill, and what? And destroy. As I close, what does the Bible teach? There is nothing new under the sun. The Ecclesiastes preacher said in that same verse, what has been will be. The same thing happens today. Young people, you work or possibly work and go to school with folk, they got demons. I said you go to school, work, and possibly in your family got folk that have evil spirits. When they talk, try to persuade you, you better know how to talk back. I'm not doing that. I'm a spirit-led young person. No, I'm not doing that. I know that the wages of sin is death. No, I'm not doing that. Jesus came that I might have life and have it more. You have to know how to talk to the devil so he doesn't prevail over you. He doesn't persuade you or mess you up. What do we need to talk based upon the lesson? The word. And the word is God, and the word is truth. And based upon that, how many have learned how to talk to the devil? Let's give God a hand clap of praise for the message.